out to camp. And that's our two biggest weeks of the summer, next week and the week after next. Don't want to miss Sunday school Sunday morning. It's going to be hot tomorrow. While I was out there mowing grass a while ago, man, you could feel it coming down. It was 94 uptown a while ago. It's supposed to be near record-breaking temperatures tomorrow. So a good way to start your day off is we're having visitation at 10 o'clock in the morning. And then try to stay in some tomorrow if you can. And pray for us out there at the camp. It's going to be hot out there. Feels good, though, after you get good and soggy. So pray that the Lord will bless the services. We got a gang of people coming in here Saturday evening. They'll be visiting us at church this Sunday and the next. Don't get mad if they get your seat. Get here early, okay? I've already had one restaurant call me and give me down the road the other day because a bunch of them went in there and didn't leave a tip Sunday. And there's a bunch of them up north. And I said, well, this woman, she was fussing at me. I said, what do you want me to do about it, ma'am? She said, their bill was $177 and they left $2 tip. And I said, they're Yankees. What do you expect? No, I didn't say that. I said, well, ma'am, what do you want me to do? She said, well, something should be said. And I said, well, I don't know. You know, it ain't none of my business. I just tried to, you know, calm her down and everything. And, of course, they shouldn't have done that, but she shouldn't be so upset about that. Tip's supposed to be optional. Ain't that right? Anything I can't stand is a restaurant that makes you pay a tip. Somebody ought to sue them for that. They really should. Give them a lawyer and sue them. That's against the law to charge people when you don't tell them you're going to charge them. You know, steak, $8.95. Way down here in little bitty print, you can't even see it. 15-cent gratuity added for, you know, parties over one or something like that. That's bulls what that is. I mean, I think you ought to... I give a tip lest we should offend them. That's the reason I do. I do it lest we should offend them and be nice and all that if they're a good waitress. But anyway... I'll tell them to be nicer. That's group next weekend. I'll tell them we got to live here, so they should be a little nicer. Let's look at what the Bible says about all this here in Romans chapter 12. We're just going to look at a little bit of it tonight. If you ever want just to study your Bible and help your life a little bit, Romans 12 is one of the greatest passages of Scripture there is. If you just ever want to sit down and say, boy, I just want to take stock and see how I'm living, see if my life's okay, and see what all's wrong with me, and if I'm doing right, just get Romans 12 out and look at it. You won't read very far till you'll find something you need to work on. Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now stop right there. People, they say, boy, they're one of them weird Christians that go all the way. You ever heard anybody? They're one of those overboard. They just give everything to God. According to the Bible, that is our reasonable service. That's just normal. Giving our whole life to the Lord is just normal. In our generation, I forgot my watch. In our generation, we have this idea that you got so Christians that are here, Christians that are here, Christians that are there, and if you want to somewhere float in the middle somewhere, that's fine. Matter of fact, I had a man tell me that. Said he's called to preach. He said, if you want to go all the way with God and you want to get dedicated and sell out, then that's fine. But he said, if you just want to sit back and take life easy, as long as you're not out here doing this and doing that, the Lord's happy with that. And, you know, that's not true. That ain't what the Bible says. According to the Bible, God wants us to give our whole lives, our whole bodies, as a living sacrifice. Living. God don't want a dead one. He wants you to bring it right there, put it on the altar. While you're alive, put it there. Now, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, it's very familiar because everybody quotes this verse, and very few people try to live by it. The Bible tells us here in verse number 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and all the way down to 14, how that you put in practice verse 1 and verse 2. So you see all that stuff about giving your body a living sacrifice. Some of you is wondering, well, how do I do that? The way you do that is do what verse 3 says, verse 4 says, verse 5 says, verse 6 says, verse 7 says, blah, blah, on down. Now, first of all, it said don't try to be a big shot. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think,
but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That's one of the hardest things you're going to have to do today is not think you're something. I preached on that at the camp last night. You're nothing. You're nothing. I got through, big tall red-headed boy come up to me and he said, I really needed that. He said, I thought I was something else. He said, I really thought I was something around here. He said, I ain't nothing but dirt. And I said, that's right. That's right. That's what you are. That's what I am. Kids have it. Beat him their head. Y'all right? Kids have it. Kids have it. Beat in their head. It ain't that bad, brother. It's going to get better here in a minute. Kids have it. Beat in their head nowadays. Hush! Every bone in my body is serious. Now you listen. Kids have it drilled in their head when they're that high nowadays that you are something. You are something. You are something, you are something, you are something, you are something. Bible says you are nothing, you are nothing, you are nothing, you are nothing. And the world says be all that you can be. You can be whatever you want to be. All you got to do is just believe it and you'll become it. That's bull. Bible said you're nothing. Without me, the Lord said, you can do nothing. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Buddy McGee hit the nail on the head the other night. He said, everybody that messes up, he said, every man that messes up, David, Samson, all them guys, do you overestimate yourself? You underestimate the enemy. Boy, that was very true. You overestimate yourself, you underestimate. You get to the point where you say, I can handle it, it won't bother me. I can sin a little bit, drink a little bit, cuss a little bit, lie a little bit. Well, you overestimate yourself and underestimate the enemy. That's where you mess up. And you'd be well not to think of yourself. I seen a guy walking through a store one day, and he had one of these gold necklaces, in herring bone or whatever it is. I think it had to be that wide. Had to be. Honest, that thing, if that thing was real, it must have cost $2,000 if it was real. And it was around his neck like this, and he's walking through the store like this. And I thought, I wonder if he thinks he's pretty or... Does he honestly think he's pretty? How's the ugliest guy? I mean, he looked horrible. But he had, like earring all fixed up, and he thought, like, I am something. And people get to thinking that. Some people watch TV so much that they honestly start thinking they look like them people on TV. And they don't. Them people on TV don't even look like that in real life. You ever seen like one of those commercials or something where they catch one of those stars when they're not... you'd never even pay no attention to them if they walked down the street, some of them. They won't even stick out in the crowd. If a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, we're nothing, folks. Pride's a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. Egotism is the ability to see great things in yourself no one else can see. That's right. That's a truth, man. That's a truth. That's egotism. Be able to see great things in yourself nobody else can see. Some people are so big and proud they can strut sitting. I've seen them. Haven't you? I've seen preachers come in here, and they just sit like this. Look, here I am. Everybody see me? And they're strutting sitting down. Come in here, you got that Bible like this, and you stand on the front row and go, I'm the man of God. God hates pride. God hates my pride. God hates your pride. And the Lord ain't never going to use us till we realize that we ain't nothing but dirt that ought to be in hell if we got what we deserve. But God's had mercy on us and let us live here. We ain't nothing. I'll preach to you about humble a little while if you don't get this through your head. I told the youth choir, don't come up here and stand like, here we are, the great new man of youth choir. God can't bless a mess like that. Come slithering up the steps, ashamed to show your face. And like that, and don't even lift up your eyes to heaven and smote the breast and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God will bless you if you got that attitude. The Bible said if you think yourself more highly than you ought to think, and that's real dangerous if God blesses you. Because you think God's blessings mean God's approval, and it don't. God's blessings don't always mean God's approval. God's blessing America. We got it better than we've ever had it. But he ain't approving of the way we're living. Now, let's look at something else here. Let's look at our members. My goodness, I've got so much stuff wrote down here. There it is. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member is one of another. We've got to remember this. We as a church are members of each other. We're members of each other. I'm a member of you. You're a member of me. We're all a member of our church here. And your body has members. There's one of my members. There's one of my members. My arm's one of my members. My leg's one of my members. I guess my ear's one of my members. You got members of the body. Now, I wouldn't like it if just one, something happens to one of my members. If my finger gets smashed, my whole body suffers. That could tear up my whole day. I could plan to mow the grass. I could plan to, you know, get my weed eater and do weed eating. I could plan to move some furniture for my mom. I could plan to maybe go out there at the camp and go, but if somebody come down on my finger like that with a hammer hard as I could and just smashed the whole thing and nearly tore half of it off, that would change my whole plans. That would alter my whole day just because of what happened to my finger. Now that's the way church is. What happens to one of us, it ought to affect all of us. Don't ever get the attitude of, tough luck. It ain't my fault. Let them go on. If they don't make it, it's their problem. We ought to care. Look around you. If you see people that's not, you can't see people, it's not here. If you notice somebody ain't here, you call them, talk to them. You know, that's a part of the body, man. We're all members of each other. We're all members of each other, so we need to keep a part of each other. I don't know, you know, I think about that fellow getting his ear bit off of him. He took a chunk out of that thing. That would hurt. I got my wife and I said, see how this would feel. And I went, I guess, she screamed, I just barely bit it a little bit. You can imagine, buddy, that's tender, man. That is tender. Now, can you imagine how it would feel to literally have your ear just a chunk, the whole thing. Now, that's one of your members. It would hurt our whole body. It would hurt your whole body. That's the way it ought to feel when one of our youth group messes up and they're out. It ought to hurt all of us, people. It ought to hurt all of us. We ought to care. We ought not say, I didn't think they was going to make it anyway. I knew they was going to backslide. That ain't no right attitude to have. That's no right attitude to have. What if you got your fingers? I never did like that thing. No way. You'd be going after it, buddy. You'd be going after it saying, sew it back on. Help me. Help me. Yes, sir. Now, look at verse number 9. Love without hypocrisy. Let love be without dissimulation. That's hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. That means hate. Cleave to that which is good. Let our love for each other be without hypocrisy. A hypocrite, I've heard people always say, I just ain't going to go sing in the choir. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Let me tell you something. A hypocrite is somebody who don't intend to get right, who don't want to get right. They live a completely different life than they profess to live. They're leading a double life completely. They don't even care. It don't even bother them. That is a hypocrite, a fake. If you're in here tonight and you're struggling and you're praying and you're saying, oh, God, help me. Lord, I messed up yesterday. God, help me. I messed up today. God, help me. God, have mercy on me. You're not a hypocrite. You're not a hypocrite. You're a normal Christian. A hypocrite's somebody who just puts up this big act like they love the Lord and is just a flat-out fake. So don't let the devil pull that trick on. See, listen. If you waited till you was perfect before you sang in the choir, you never sang in the choir. If I waited till I was perfect before I preached, I've heard preachers say, I can't preach right now. I'm not worthy. I've never been worthy to preach. Now, I've never gone in the pulpit with deliberate, willful sin in my heart, but I've never gone in the pulpit perfect neither. You understand what I'm saying? A hypocrite is somebody who just is a big fake, total fake, don't even plan to change, don't care, don't pray, don't even want to do better. If you've got a desire to live for God and are praying, then you're all right. That's all the Lord wants from you. He wants you to be serious and sincere. A hypocrite, listen to this, never intends to be what he pretends to be. One more time. A hypocrite never intends to be what he pretends to be. A hypocrite is somebody who writes a book on atheism and prays that he can sell it. A hypocrite is somebody that, you know, just completely, he's got AM and FM, man. He just, and don't even plan to do nothing about it. That's it. The Bible says, let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, I'm not supposed to say, Brother Donnie, I love you, I appreciate you, and then go out and say, I hate his guts. I wish he would quit our church. I don't even love, you know. That's hypocritical love. You say, well, Brother Danny, I really do hate somebody. Well, don't tell them you love them then. And pray that God will help you to love them and make you love them like you're supposed to. Amen? You love everybody like you're supposed to? No, I don't. There are people that I don't love like I'm supposed to. People like Dennis Rodman and Marilyn Manson and people like that. I hate them people. But I love them too. I don't want them to go to hell. But as far as their personality, you know, you never will be able to lie. But you can love them in the Lord and pray for their soul. Now, church, we ain't got Dennis Rodman and Marilyn Manson in here. We're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace trying to do right. And so we need to learn to love each other. Amen? Need to learn to love each other. All you ladies hear me? Y'all seem to have a harder time with it than the men. And I ain't saying men don't. But I am. We had two men one time, real good friends here in our church. And they had a little falling out over some money. Usually two men in the church get mad at each other, it's over money. And usually when two women get mad at each other in the church, it's over their kids. Or something like that. And a man thought another man cheated him out of some money, and they wouldn't even speak to each other. Wouldn't even go to the choir because they wouldn't have to stand beside each other up here or see each other in the choir room. And it ain't right. It is not right to go, be able to go to church with somebody week in, week out, and not even go in the choir room afraid you might have to wind up seeing them or something like that. Amen? So I got them down up there one day, and we sat down right up there in that room. And I said, all right, I'm going to hear your side. All right, I'm going to hear your side. I'm your pastor. Let's settle this thing. I don't think you're going to agree. You think one thing, he thinks another thing. But let's reach a mutual agreement here that we can live with. You guys got to go to church together. Let's get this thing right. And we got down, got it right. They became best friends again. The Bible said, let love be without dissimulation. You know what? Before I'd go up there and sit down with my pastor and do all that, I believe I'd just find some way to just go ahead and love them, you know. And what I always tell my wife is this. The way you love somebody that's done you wrong, or the way you love somebody that you think don't like you, and usually it's just your imagination, is you start thinking about all your sins. You start thinking, man, look at what all God's forgiven me for. Amen. And thank God he don't treat you like you're treating them. Amen. Bible said, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. Somebody said one time, they said, Brother Danny, the best thing in the world about you, you just forgive everybody for everything. No. I said, yeah, I do. You know why? Because God's forgiven me for so much. And I don't want to be so hard on people because the Lord say, oh, what about you, bud? Amen? Amen? With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. If you're real merciful to somebody, God will show a lot of mercy on you. You're hard on other people, he'll be hard on you sometime. All right? Let love be without hate evil. Let love be without hypocrisy. Hate evil. Hate witchcraft. All this stuff going on in the world today. Verse 10, I'm going to have to hurry here. I'm going to be through. Verse 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another, my soul. With brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. I'm not going to be able to get into all that tonight, but great day. Look at that. In honor, preferring one another. That means if you got a chance to get something, and you push your brother or sister in front of you and let them have it first. I heard about this girl in college, and she had a job for maybe $6 an hour, and her friend couldn't find a job. And a job came open for $15 an hour that this girl with the job could get. And instead of taking it, she let her friend have it who didn't have a job. Boy, that's Christian there, ain't it? What would most people do? Hey. Hallelujah. God bless me with a job making $15 an hour. Forget her. She can starve to death. But she deliberately took it, preferring. You know, if you put somebody else in front of you, you watch God bless you. That's hard to do, ain't it? Amen. All right, let's look at another one or two. I'm going to read these off, then I'm going to quit. Look here at verse number 11. Not slothful in business. That means when it's your time to take the nursery, take it. When you're supposed to be in your Sunday school class, be in your Sunday school class. When you're supposed to be here on time, be here on time, man. Be here in church. Not slothful in business, especially the Lord's business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, verse 12. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Does that sound like the average Christian to y'all? Great. Most Christians you know, are they patient in tribulation? Or do they gripe and complain, and God did me wrong, and I'm going to quit, and this ain't fair, and why do you let this happen to me, and blah, blah, blah. Listen, man, it said be patient in tribulation. If hard times are coming your way, just saying, well, God's giving me a trial. I'm going through this for a reason. His will be done. Amen. I'll just tough on through and see how this thing comes out. Be patient in tribulation. Continuing in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Given to hospitality. I was thinking about this the other day. Matter of fact, somebody reminded me of it. And I always, my mom's a widow. And we got several widows in our church. We don't have a million of them like some churches do, but we got a few. And I think mom's been trying to get her floors redone. And I went to Iceville the other day and went to the hospital visit, and I brought her back a roll of carpet from a place over there she bought and hauled it back for her. And she called up there. She said the man was going to do something on her floors. Not Brother Junkin's going to put her carpet down when he comes back. But she said she don't have anybody to help her move her furniture and stuff. And it just hit me. She don't have nobody to help her move her furniture. She's not able to mow her own grass. She can't haul her trash off. She still keeps the house clean and spotless and all that. But there's a lot of things that a widow can't do. And I try to help her as much as I can. I can't even keep my own grass. And I'm a part of hers today. And all that. And I got to thinking what the Bible said about a church helping widows that are widows indeed. And we got several of them here in our church. And I thought, some of you young men, you want to do something for God? My goodness, their house, some of them, their houses need painting. Some of them maybe have a tree that blowed over in the backyard, been laying there 2 or 3 years, need it sawed up and hauled off. Some of them may their car, maybe their tires need rotating, oil need changing on, and they can't just pay ever professionally people to do all these things. A church steps in. The Bible says that we should distribute to the necessity of saints. And just like we take care of them special citizens, just like we do some for the bus kids, the Bible said that widows should not be neglected. A woman whose husband has died and her kids are all grown or gone off or something should not be neglected by the church. And that's something maybe some of you preachers, somebody could start a ministry here. And we had some of those, some working in the elderly with Muff and Miss Lucy, and some of them worked for the elderly for a little while. And I got thinking about some of our elderly folks want to get it all on a bus and take them somewhere pretty soon. And Gitchen's all on there. Anybody over 24 or 30 anyway. And get you on there and take you somewhere and go eat out or have a little fellowship. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Given to hospitality. And then let's look at these other ones right quick. I'll just read these and I'll be through. Bless them which persecute you. You got somebody doing you wrong? Bless them. Don't, well, I'll tell you one thing. Next time I see them, I'm going to tell them. Now, here's what you do. So next time I see them, I'm going to say, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Can you do that? That's what it says, dude. Bible says get down and pray that God will bless that person. I'd been doing that. I tried to do that. I done that the other day. I know some preachers said some bad things about me, and I made myself get down and say, Lord, just bless them. Of course, I didn't mean it, but I prayed them. I prayed it. I tried to mean it. Bless God, that's better than some of you doing. I tried to mean it. I felt guilty telling you. But I try to mean it. Amen. That's what the Bible says to do. Bible said, bless them. You don't have to mean it. Nah. I said, Lord, bless so-and-so. Bless his ministry. But and first thing you know, if you pray that enough, them hard feelings might go away. Amen. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Somebody's at the funeral home, go cry with them. Somebody's had a baby, go cry with them. Amen. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Somebody gets married, be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. You don't always have to be with the big shots, the big crowd, the important folks, the in crowd. Get the poor, the blind, the lame. Have a cookout Friday or 4th of July or Christmas or something, and invite somebody over that's not, you know, in your class, you know? Do something somebody else once in a while. Amen? When's the last time y'all took... when's the last time you had a meal... And to, like Brother Steve, it sits right here. Steve's not here tonight. How many of y'all have invited him over to eat? Think about it. Now, I ain't just saying this. Think about it. My wife used to invite Ken Bailiff over to the house every Christmas. And you know how Ken is. He'd come in and talk about our Christmas tree and say it was a bell bush and everything else. You know, and you know, we wanted to be a blessing to him. I'd give him something and wrap him up a present. And that's about something, all he got to do for Christmas. And pick out somebody maybe who don't have family, who don't have not just our little clique, you know, that we're always with. Get somebody else. Pull them in once in a while. Be a real Christian. Sinners love them that love them. Ain't that right? Sinners got their pick and run around with all the time. Christians supposed to be different from that. Amen, amen. Try it sometimes. You'll love it. Verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. Get along with everybody the best you can. Some people you can't get along with. They won't let you. But it don't have to be your fault. Amen? All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the instructions here from the Word of God. And Lord, we just saw from these few verses here how far short we fall. God, it just cuts us up like a razor blade. I pray, dear God, in Jesus' name, that you would bless every person here tonight. Help us not line up. Get right. Do that you'd have us to do. Forgive us of our sins. Wash us in the blood of Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Pray for me.